All right, all right, all right! Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I don't think I could be better. I mean, last week really went as well as possible for me. I got a win.
You're not 0-3.
I didn't get the top score, so it could have technically gone better, but I got a win. But more importantly, I think it was a big week for the squish factor in the league. You know, just any week that it's a big week for the squish factor,
I am happy. 2-1, 2-1, 1-2, 1-2, 2-1, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, and 3-0.
Yeah, only freaking
come on,
Derek with the pulled out, not joining the party at the 1-2 or 2-1.
Well,
group,
it wasn't. I don't think it was physically possible. He was playing the only 2-0 team.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's true. And there are more 1-2 teams than there are teams with a winning record, which is
correct.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
You know, there's 5 teams with a winning record, and then 7 teams who are 1-2. So it's very squishy in the Elwood Fantasy Football
All
League.
All kinds of squish going on, and that is what we love. We like the drama. We like the narratives. We like the stories. We like
and
squish
sure,
factor.
It's only week 3, and it's too early to be talking about squish factor. Sure.
Blasphemy.
Right?
It's not too early.
But it's fun to see it, and it's good for no one to be 0-3. You know, it's good that no one is staring down the barrel of 0-4, because 0-4
is do not recover
really,
from 0-4.
It's the black mark. You know, like
never in the history.
Yeah, Golden State lost an 0-3 lead, but no one's coming back from 0-4. Mm-hmm. You know,
nope. Well, even though you started out a little slow out of the gate at 0-2, you're actually right now sitting fourth for points 4. Congratulations on your big win and the point bounce back that you got in week 3. It's got to feel
good.
Yeah,
I think I mentioned on the podcast last week that even, you know, with my 0-2 record, I was, you know, still like 6th in points scored, mostly because it was a low scoring start to the season. And so everyone was like really close together. But that did give me some hope that I was having just a little bit of bad schedule luck, and it wasn't that I was just, you know, terrible at fantasy football. So, you know, still 1-2, not singing my praises yet, tooting my horn, but I have much more hope this week than last week.
Yeah, I agreed. I'm looking forward to looking at matchups. You brought up a really interesting stat that you dropped in the group me this week, and that was the points against spread. Care to make any interpretive comments on how we're basically all ganging up on Ben?
Yeah, I think we should all just point and laugh at Ben as he has, you know, there have been exactly 2 teams that have scored 200 points this season, and both of them came against Ben. So he's just been totally on the short end of the schedule stick with 511 points against him, and the next closest team is 427 points. So yeah, the gap between Ben and the second place team is bigger than the gap between the second place team and the last place team in points against. So really, I feel really bad for Ben about that.
Yeah. Well, as badly as we might feel for Ben for that, you got to look at Derek's points against and go, man, he's having a different season this year compared to last.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the lowest points against for Derek, where last year he, I think, led the lead in points for and points against by some black magic. So definitely, you know, you'll see he's, I think, only 3rd in the power rankings this week, even though he's the only one with the perfect record. And that's because the power rankings, you know, factor in your points scored and kind of how many points you score compared to everyone else in the league each week. So that one is, you know, definitely showing up there. So you might say he's lucky to be 3-0. You might say that if you wanted to, but you know, nothing against his team. He's you know, he's scored 410 points, which is a perfect, you know, 6th in the lead. So some might say you don't deserve to be 3-0 if you've had the 6th most points in the lead, but that's where he is.
Yeah. Well, there's only one other stat I wanted to point out in the rankings, and that is the number of moves that each team has made in the past 3 weeks. Now, granted, 3 weeks is not a lot of time, as you pointed out. It's hard to draw out a lot of conclusions based on our ranking, based on our win-loss records. But I do find it remarkable that the average, just me eyeballing it, it looks like the average is somewhere around maybe seven or so moves per team.
Yeah, I mean, you can say the median is, call it 10.
Sure.
Because there's six above 10, six below 10.
Fair enough.
Right?
Fair enough. But sitting at the top of that is none other than Scott and yourself with 21 moves.
Yeah, and you know, I really like a lot of the moves that Scott is making, mm-hmm. and he's had some bad injury luck where he has Tyreek Hill who's out, he has Michael Gallup who's out, DeSean Jackson who's out, now it looks like T.Y. Hilton might miss this week, so you know, he's kind of had to make moves because of those injuries, but I really like what he has been doing and the ways he's, you know, plugging holes in his lineup with kind of some of those waiver wire pickups, but they're performing well for him. I feel like he's got, you know, DJ Chark. He had Nelson Aguilar had a big week last week. You know, Mark Andrews at tight end. He, you know, this week I went, you know, scrambled to the waiver wire to see who owned Will Disley. If anyone owned him, I was going to pick him up if he was available. And lo and behold, Scott had him already. So, you know, I think he's made some moves. There's been a couple of times where I've wondered, who owns that guy? And Scott has him. And now he picked up Daniel Jones, the quarterback for the Giants this week. I think that's a good add there. Obviously had a monster game last week, which anyone would have loved to have in their starting lineup. But I don't think it's just, you know, point chasing here to go and add him for this week. I think I'll have another good week this week. So
yeah,
I like the move that Scott is making. And I feel like I can see what he's doing, you know, see the plan that he has with his lineups each week, probably more so this year than any other year. So, you know, hats off to Scott for, you know, really managing his team well so far.
Yeah. Well, if there's ever a time for me to feel insecure, it's looking at the moves rank right there. And I'm feeling really left out right now. Like, oh, I want to get in the moves action.
Yeah. You have one transaction.
I know.
Like, where have you been? What have you been doing?
Well, my plan to stream certain positions, I haven't needed to. The Pats defense has, been doing quite well.
True.
Don't be judging me.
I mean, I'm just like...
I feel your judgment.
It's so opposite of what I would do. Like,
I've placed some bids.
Do you look at your lineup every week and,
Peter,
like, you just never see,
you.
Like...
How dare you?
But you never feel like you can improve on Mohamed Sanu in the wide receiver three spot? I mean...
Of course I could.
You just really love the guys you drafted so much?
I'm chasing bad investment. Yeah. Phrasing. I feel like the way that I am playing the waiver wire, obviously I haven't really been playing it. I've kind of been holding out to really lock in what I want to keep, what I don't want to keep. And there's been some outrageous bidding going on. People are just totally tanking their budgets in that waiver wire as they're picking up these handcuff positions through the past couple of weeks. And I think it was Jared that made a comment about how you can't really anticipate what people are going to pay anymore. You got to double or triple what you think or add, you know, value on top of that into your bidding because our league is just sharp and everybody's paying attention.
Charles is down to $4 left in his FAB budget.
That's amazing. So,
I don't even know what he spent that on.
Seriously, that's remarkable. So in the first three moves of the auction draft, he spent all of his money. And in the first 3 weeks of the league, he spent all of his free agent budget. Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. And he's in second, according to our draft rankings here.
But really, what did he spend it on? Because he doesn't have like any of the hot pickups from this week.
No,
he didn't get Wayne Gallman. He didn't get, you know, DeMarcus Robinson a couple of weeks ago. Like, there's not a player that was a hot pickup on his team, really. Maybe Philip Dorsett this week he spent some money. But other than that, I don't know where he spent the money.
Well, I'm going to go look real quick while we're pulling up matchups here. I'm curious, too. It's remarkable.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I don't know how to look that up quickly. But you're sitting there solid with $120 left. You and Brock.
Man, when Kamara goes down and I need to scoop up the number two, yeah. I'll be ready.
I don't know who you would spend it on, but
it'd be committee there.
That powder is dry. You are ready to fire some bullets.
This is true. Well, if I may be so bold, I am not a 3-0 team, but I am one of the few 2-1s, and I do have a big week this week. I am playing Charles, who's been who was knocked off of his hot streak this last week, even though he did you know, pretty well weeks one, week two, and I say pretty well in that he did amazing, and we were terrified of him. I listened to last week's episode, and it was a great one, and we were discussing how scared we were of him. And just like that, fantasy football gods prove what a fickle, fickle thing it can be. Sounds like his on-air fake humility really came back came back and bit him, because he just didn't perform as well this last week. And I'm playing him this week, and I do think, based on our records and our rankings, I would call our game the game of the week. How do you feel about that?
Well, so just about last week's podcast and having Charles on it, you know, when it got posted, we already knew the result from last week's matchups, right? And so then listening back to it with the benefit of knowing that, you just hear how much we cursed him the whole podcast. Really? Because it was just like repeated praises and just kind of talking about, you know, like he's talking about he wants to have a perfect record, and we're talking about how, you know, his projected score is like 20 points higher than anyone else, and no one's going to touch him. And then he lost, and he lost in stupendous fashion. He put up his lowest score of the season, obviously, and it was the lowest score in the league in a rather high scoring week. And his best player got hurt and is out for 4 to 8 weeks with Saquon going down with a high ankle sprain. So, I mean, it was just like we brought the curse of Job on him when we had him on the podcast last week. And I almost felt bad about it, just like hearing it and thinking, wow, we really did a number on him. But I mean, it's not like we had any control over what happened. We didn't really do anything that, you know, had an impact on his team or, you know, Saquon's ankle or anything like that. But, that was funny to listen back. But yeah, you do have Charles. You do have a Saquon less Charles, and he did not get Saquon's direct backup, probably because he only has $4 of fab budget left, and he couldn't spend up that high. So, you know, I think this is you know, one of the best times to catch him, and so you probably have the best chance against him this week than you would have had any other week.
I might have had a little bit better of a chance had I played Jordan Howard instead of Miles Sanders this evening. Jordan Howard having already put up 2 touchdowns, and Miles Sanders having been on the field a few times, I think, for a couple of snaps, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just touchdowns. You can't predict touchdowns. Like, don't beat yourself up over it, right? It's how would you have known that Howard is going to get the touchdowns and not Sanders? It could have very easily been Sanders getting those touchdowns.
Yep,
but this is a problem of owning like all of a backfield. That's a hand tough situation.
Yeah,
is
gotta make hard choices.
You gotta make those hard choices, and you're flipping a coin every week, right?
Right. So, looking at our matchup this week, I think that he's going to bounce back pretty significantly, and he being Charles. I am thankful that I'm not facing his team in his prime with Kareem Hunt or Saquon Barkley being ineligible this week or unavailable. I am very, very glad that Adrian Peterson is not what he used to be. And I, because they're up against the Giants this week, and I don't think he's going to get a lot of action. Larry Fitzgerald is up against Seattle this week, and that might actually help me a little bit. Seattle may be able to slow him down. I don't know what Terry McLaurin's situation is. Maybe you can fill me in on that. Anyway, I see some soft spots despite, yeah. I think, the stud performances is what I'm most concerned about, because I think Patrick Mahomes up against Detroit, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, this is going to be a fun game. Dallas and New Orleans are playing this weekend. And I'm really looking forward to that. So it could be a battle of the running back, and we'll just see who runs it in the most. LeSean McCoy. Yeah. Sorry.
I was going to say, it's unfortunate that Charles has John Ross playing on Monday night, because otherwise then it would come down to that Sunday night game between Dallas and New Orleans for you guys with Zeke and Kamara still left to play. And I'm sure, you know, there'll be a situation where anything could happen, because, you know, either of those guys could go off for 40 points and it could, you know, rapidly swing a matchup, even if it looks like one team's way ahead. So, but that will still be fun regardless for you two to have the top running backs from the Sunday night game going against each other. That always makes it more entertaining when we've got a couple studs head to head on a primetime game like that.
Yep, for sure.
But I agree with you overall. I think Charles does have a couple of spots where you don't really need to worry about this week. I think, you know, Adrian Peterson on the road at the Giants would be one. I think Todd Gurley against Tampa Bay actually isn't a great matchup, because Tampa Bay has been really good against the run this year, and Gurley hasn't been used very much in the passing game like in previous years. So there's a couple of spots where I think Charles isn't going to have a total stud performance. On the flip side, though, he's got Mahomes playing in a dome at Detroit.
That's what I'm saying.
I read something this week. Did you know Mahomes has only ever played one NFL game in a dome, and it was like a preseason game. Like, he's never played a regular season NFL game in a dome.
Well, that's because he's 18 years old.
But, I mean, he does have 20 starts or something like that. You never played a regular season in the dome, so people are speculating that he's just going to be dropping 75-yard bombs all the time without any concern.
Is this what it's like to throw a ball without any kind of crosswind?
Yeah, no wind at all, and I just chuck it 80 yards down the field. So that'll be fun to watch and see what he does there.
It will be fun. Maybe he's so unakin to it, he's not going to know what to do. He's going to keep accidentally lead all of his players a little bit
it's a good thing all his wide receivers run like less than a 4.440, so they'll go get it. But yeah, he could probably outthrow them. I gotta give the nod to Charles here.
It's a pretty close overall push, if I may say. I really think it is.
It is. And, you know, you're like a 12-point underdog right now. Miles Sanders is creeping up on Jordan Howard now. He's, you know, scoring points as we speak. Yeah. So there's hope for him to do a touchdown and even it up, not make it look so bad for you.
Yeah, well, and if he does, I'm just going to edit all this stuff out that I had no faith in him. So
That's right.
Let me go ahead and record a little buzz. Man, I'm just really glad I started Miles Sanders. I can go back and cut that in later and claim that as a accuracy. Yep. All right.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done.
Thanks. All right. Well, I would have called our game the game of the week. It feels a little bit less exciting right now, but it is kind of a push, and we're both 2-1. And for that reason, I do think it's the game of the week. But based on points scored right now in terms of action, it's pretty fun looking at the high point scores duking it out. Derek being 3-0. And Ben being 1-2, but each projected around the 140 to 150 mark right now, and they have a pretty even push game. Carson Wentz has done really well. He's got 3 touchdowns this evening. Devonta Adams has caught no touchdowns tonight, but has 167 yards across 9 receptions. And Zach Ertz has also done really well, a lot of yardage and a lot of receptions. So point-wise, Ben got off to a stronger start than I would have predicted that he would have tonight. And Aaron Rodgers is actually looking like a quarterback of yesteryear. He's got a couple of passes into the end zone, over 300 yards, and they're not even in the fourth quarter just yet. And it's a tied game, right now. And so that means that Aaron Rodgers is going to do what he does best, and that is march the ball down the field in the clutch. So we will see what the fourth quarter looks like and how that might even things out for Derek. I've liked Derek's team from the get-go. I've made no bones about that. I think he's got a solid team, and it's paying off for him. He's much more of the, if Charles is the quick burn, like studs, I feel like Derek is the slow and steady wins the race, kind of the turtle or the I think I can engine just chugging away. What do you think about this matchup?
Are you saying that Derek doesn't have a lot of firepower?
I didn't say that at all. No,
I thought you said lack of firepower for Derek. there. It is fun seeing the two quarterbacks matched up on Thursday night and to see both of them doing well, with a few touchdown passes between them. Davante Adams was in an obvious blow up spot after a bad week last week and then against the terrible Eagles secondary at home with Aaron Rodgers this week. So he's just racking up the yards. I think he was over 100 yards in the first quarter, kind of slowed his pace since then. But I like Derek's team a lot this week. And I think, Ben is getting good performances on Thursday as he needed to kind of keep this one close. But after these Thursday matchups, I don't love what Ben has left the rest of the weekend. Yep. And I like a lot of what Derek's matchups look like. He added Wayne Gallman, who is Saquon's backup, paid a pretty penny for him.
$51, I think.
I think he went to 60, didn't he?
Did he?
$50. Yep, $50. There was a $50 bid and a $40 bid. He got him for $50, so I think that's a good add in the RB2 spot. Juju Smith-Schuster against Cincinnati, they got a bad secondary. Julio at home is always a good spot, and then I think Darren Waller at Indianapolis. He's gonna rack up a lot of catches. Mm-hmm. Might not be a lot of yards, but point for every catch, so it'll be taking those to the bank. And I like Sterling Shepard at home against Washington as well, especially with Saquon out. They turn to the air with Shepard a little bit more this week. So I think Derek's got a good matchup here, and I would side with him, even though currently Ben is projected to win.
I would agree. I'm going to lean into Derek. I think your point about the quick burn tonight versus the better matchups later in the week for Derek is exceptional, and I think that's where you're going to see Derek come over the top.
All right. So let's go and talk about one team that's not having such a good night on Thursday night here, and really maybe two teams that aren't having such a good night, but that's Jared and Scott. Jared has Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who has maybe caught two passes. He's got 5 points right now as we speak, headed into the fourth quarter. Scott has Aaron Jones, who has fallen into the end zone for a touchdown and done nothing else. He has Nelson Aguilar, who has literally done nothing, but Mason Crosby is having a respectable game. So I think, this is like the other side of the coin of Thursday night games, where sometimes there are some really dud performances, and we're seeing a lot of those here. As we turn to the rest of the weekend, good matchups between quarterbacks here. We've got Russell Wilson on the road against Arizona. That's a great spot to be for a quarterback because Arizona plays fast and their defense is awful. And Daniel Jones at home against Washington, who has not shown to have a very good pass defense this year, even giving up like 3 touchdown passes to Mitch Trubisky last week. So
all quarterbacks.
Scott's just going to keep targeting the Redskins with his quarterbacks after playing Trubisky last week, and now he's got Daniel Jones this week. So good matchup at quarterback there. And then other than that, I think I favor Jared's side of the ball here. Mm-hmm. Keenan Allen had a monster game last week, and now he's going up against Miami.
Yeah, and Mike Evans is coming to his own too.
I don't see Miami slowing Keenan Allen down at all. Mike Evans might be getting a much larger target share with Chris Godwin missing 2 practices this week. He might be out. So we'll see what happens there. So I think there's still a couple players on Jared's team that have really big ceilings, and he's in a good spot.
The only thing I would comment on at this point is that as of right now, you said that you were really able to track with Scott a lot of his movement, being able to kind of see his strategy and trajectory of his team. Currently, Josh Howard just ran another touchdown in.
He fell down at the 2. Don't worry. Or is he about to score again?
No, he just scored again.
Oh, I'm behind you then.
Well, I'm tracking it on ESPN. Wow.
Yep. Third touchdown for Jordan Howard. That's rough.
That's rough. That's real rough. I don't even want to know.
Oh, second effort too. They hit him. Hit him at the 1, and he knocked him back, and he spun.
30 points on my bench. Dead. You want to just slide him in for me, Kamish? What does it take? You're a pretty corrupt guy.
What does that mean? I'm a pretty corrupt guy.
You know exactly what it means.
Never done anything of the sort.
All right, let's pick it back up. Yeah, the only other thing I would comment on, you said earlier that you have been able to follow Scott's trajectory and his movement of players and what he's picking up. Right now, he doesn't have a WR3 or a tight end. Do you think he's just waiting to surprise us on Sunday? Is he just going to drop the bomb and be like, ha-ha, that's who I'm playing?
So at tight end, he's at Will Disley or Mark Andrews. And he's at Cole Beasley in the flex right now. So I think if Mark Andrews is healthy, you will see Scott roll out two tight ends, slide Beasley into the wide receiver three spot and roll with Andrews and Disley, because I think they're both really good options this week. If Andrews is healthy, he has missed two practices this week. So kind of up in the air there. Otherwise, he does have Paul Richardson on his bench. And I think that's a little point chasey, but Redskins will probably be throwing a lot. So and the Giants don't have a good secondary, so that's possible that's going to work out for him. But you'll definitely see Will Disley starting in there, and I think he's in a great spot going up against Arizona, who has given up exactly 25 points to all three tight ends that they have faced every week. So kind of the nut spot for a tight end. And the Seahawks used to have two tight ends, and they just trade one of them to Pittsburgh, so now they have one tight end, which is good for Will Disley, which is why I wanted to add him this week, and was sad when Scott already owned him.
Yep. Well, he's going to need those points if he's going to have a chance. Otherwise, I think Jared takes this one.
Yeah, I think Scott's fighting an uphill battle here. Might depend on what happens with the rest of the Thursday night game. Maybe he did a surprise touchdown, or maybe a single catch from Nelson Aguilar that changes things. We'll have to stay tuned, and maybe we'll look like fools once listeners are actually hearing this.
We shall see. All right, let's hop over to some teams that don't have people in play this evening. Michael Fitz is taking on Chris Windsor tonight. They are both also sitting at 1-2, and right now they're projected pretty evenly, kind of the standard 125 to 130 projection for a typical pre-Sunday slot. There are some questions that I see more so in Chris Windsor's lineup. I see some upside inside it, though, but I'm looking at this one, and this week I think Fitz's team looks a little bit more formidable than it did this past week. Pretty good push down the board. Kyler Murray looks good. I think, you know, he wins the QB push up against Seattle this week, as opposed to you got Christian McCaffrey up against Houston this week. I do like that matchup. Let's see here. Where is Stefon Diggs?
I mean, so I think one of the themes of the season so far this season has been Chris Windsor's struggles at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is very aware of it and vocal about it with the group. I don't think he's got more than 10 points from a quarterback this season. So certainly that puts a damper on your total points for the year. He's going with Jacoby Brissett against Oakland. It is in Indianapolis, so that's good for Jacoby Brissett. But again, this isn't a great play at quarterback. I don't know what the top 15 tight ends look like for this week, but I think Jacoby Brissett would be outside of it. Kyler Murray at Seattle for Michael, I think that's a better spot. On the flip side, Windsor does have Marlon Mack, at home versus Oakland, and that should be a really good spot for Mack. He, gets a lot of workload, especially now that the Colts don't have T.Y. Hilton. They'll probably be turning to the run game even more, assuming Hilton is out. I'm guessing he will be, because he tweaked his quad last week. Whereas on Michael's side, his running back is Dalvin Cook. At Chicago, that's definitely going to be the toughest matchup for Dalvin Cook that he's faced so far this season.
Right.
And he's the number one running back, I think, because he's had such good spots and the Vikings are just running the ball so much. And then Josh Jacobs at Indianapolis, that's only a good spot if Jacobs is involved in the passing game, in my opinion. But otherwise, I don't see him getting much going on the ground against the Colts. So, just looking at the top of the board there, I'd throw the quarterback to Michael's favor. I'd throw the running backs to Windsor's favor.
Yep.
But beyond that, there's not a lot I love here. I'd take Michael's wide receivers over Windsor, just because Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp for the Rams at home against Tampa Bay, and then DK DK Metcalf going against Arizona's bad secondary. For Michael, I like that. Whereas Windsor's got Chris Godwin, who may not play if he keeps missing practices. And then Stephon Diggs, who is on a team that refuses to throw the ball, even though Diggs is really good. And I hope Diggs gets traded to someone who does like to throw the ball, because it's fun to watch him play football, and he's getting like one or two catches each week. After that, the tight ends are meh. Right. The flex spots are total wild cards. Yeah. Because it's Marquise Brown and Mecole Hardman, who are just burners, who are either going to catch a 60-yard touchdown pass or probably do very little. So, yeah. There's some wild cards. I think overall, though, you know, like Michael side here a little bit better, just because the quarterback and the wide receivers, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Their flexes are definitely true wide number fours for sure. I actually, this week I would look at the defenses as well, and I'd say that the Texans have the leg up. I mean, they've been on fire. Carolina's offense has been very, very strong, and so this will be a real test for the Texans defense, but it's been sharp thus far, so I would tip the hat to them too. So yeah, ultimately I lean towards Michael this week.
Yep, I'm in agreement.
All right, well, that'll take us over to Andy, 1-2, up against Brock, 1-2, slightly lower projected. Only because Brock has yet to fill a couple of spots. But based on the lineup that we have on hand, Andy right now has Jared Goff in the QB spot up against Deshaun Watson on Brock's side. Once again, Houston playing Carolina this week. I like that matchup for Deshaun. I think he's going to have a great week. We've got in the running back slot over on Andy, he's got Chris Carson playing Arizona. He should see a little bit of traction on the turf this week. James White has been not as utilized in New England as they've been kind of air raiding for a little while. Philip Lindsay is the number one running back currently over on Brock. He doesn't have a number two spot, but obviously he's got Michael Thomas in that Dallas hot game this weekend. I'm super excited about that. Meanwhile, OBJ is in Baltimore and Sammy Watkins up against Detroit. As I look down the board, I think that my leaning is pushing into Andy's team this week, mainly because, one, obviously Brock doesn't have these spots filled, but two, he's going to have to really rely on Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, and Deshaun Watson, whereas I think Andy has just a little bit more upside consistently down the board. What do you think?
I'm going to go on the other side here. I think it's tough to evaluate Brock's team when he's got two empty spots in there, but I think we will see him fill those. And just the kind of core group that he has, I think, is in a really good spot. I think Deshaun Watson at home against Carolina, he should have a good game. And then down the board, everyone's at home. They're all playing in home games, which I think is good. And then he's got both Hawkinson and Galladay for Detroit at home against Kansas City, which looks like it'll shape up to be a shootout, and that should be good for the two pass catchers for the Lions there on Brock's side. DeAndre Hopkins has had a couple of down weeks the last 2 weeks, facing Jacksonville and then at the Chargers, I think, who have really good cornerbacks that can match up better with Hopkins than most other teams, and Carolina does not have that kind of cornerback level play. So I think, like we're seeing Devontae Adams have a big bounce back this week in a much better spot, we should see the bounce back for Hopkins as well. So I'm going with a Brock side on this one. Andy has made, I think, two trades recently. He's added Sammy Watkins and Curtis Samuel, so his wide receivers look much different than they had before, and I think those are big upgrades for his wide receiver spots. I like both of those players, at least for now, though I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to carry the day for him here. Even though I do like the spots that they're in, but Chris Carson on Andy's side, he keeps fumbling the ball, and he might get benched if he fumbles it in. So it could be a great day for him against Arizona in a game Seattle should win. But if he drops the ball again, then he'll probably ride the pine for a while.
Sounds about right.
All right. So you taking Andy?
I'm going to take Andy.
All right, I'm going to take Brock.
All right, well, that will lead us to the final 1 and 2 teams in the form of your team, good sir, up against Chris Chewy Clark this weekend. How are you feeling about your matchup right now? By the way, Chewy getting a little bit of a disadvantage as the Packers-Eagles game has been nothing less than a shootout. And so their DST, he's currently sitting at -4, and he's about to likely give up another touchdown before the end of the fourth quarter to the Eagles. We shall see. So a few points against him there. However, pretty strong-looking push between the two of you. Lamar Jackson looks great this weekend in Cleveland. Devonta Freeman, again, in Tennessee. That's going to be a fun, interesting matchup. Pete, you have a great team. And I don't think that your team is commiserate with your record. I think I've said that before on the podcast, but I mean it right now, especially. And I think that the this week you overall look stronger. Chris has not had Chewy has not had the performance out of his balanced draft that he had hoped for. And he just doesn't, I'll say it fairly, he does not have firepower.
Oh, this is the kiss of death right there. My team is much more balanced, obviously, now than it was to start the season. Sure. And that helps it look a lot better to actually have, you know, at least two wide receivers that you can be proud of starting. And, you know, kind of getting all your best players into the starting lineup is certainly helpful. So it looks like I need to find a new kicker. But it's nice starting out with a, you know, 0 points on Thursday night, but still a commanding lead with Chewy down -4 points right now.
Commanding lead.
Indeed. So I will take it. I you know, there are a couple of spots that I'm nervous about on Chewy's side. He's at Dak and Amari Cooper at New Orleans. That could turn into a shootout very quickly, and if so, Dak and Amari could have a field day, and he's double dipped on points there if they did a bunch of touchdown passes. Austin Eckler has been, maybe he's the number one running back. I said Cook, but maybe it's Eckler. I don't have the rankings in front of me, but Eckler's been awesome, and he's facing Miami, so that's the, you know, almost the best possible matchup for him there. Other than that, yeah, I don't think I like as much about Chewy's team, though Kerryon Johnson and Joe Mixon and Calvin Ridley and Allen Robinson are all talented enough that they could have big days. Their matchups don't scream big day at me. So we'll see. I think this will be closer than you might expect. I'm glad that we both have a win so that this isn't a battle of winless teams here. But I certainly hope to take the W, and I'll pick myself on this one.
I am picking you as well, good sir, and wishing you the best of luck.
Oh, well, we did it. We got through them all. I feel like we did that quickly, and I think that's a good thing, because that will help you be able to publish this podcast as soon as possible. Any strong takeaways from the power rankings this week?
They seem very true to form, obviously, and I feel really, really good. Honestly, the squish factor is what I'm most excited about right now. I do want to apologize publicly for the delay in getting the last podcast out. There was some strategy in making sure that we didn't add to collusion, but ultimately, it was a very, very busy weekend and a very busy week. And we've got another busy weekend ahead. I'm traveling tomorrow and returning late Sunday, so I wanted to get this done as quickly as possible. It may be a little bit less polished when it hits the air, but I'm going to have it up by tomorrow morning. So grateful for everybody's patience.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, very good. I think it was a very good start to this season. Everyone is sharp, paying attention, and really close together. So I hope this continues all until we reach the playoffs and we've got, you know, one of those years where you just never know who's getting in until the final week. So we can only hope.
That's correct. And hope we will, because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world. And this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.